Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This recording was made during our 2010 fall meeting.
Apostle Paul, in writing to the church of the Thessalonians, he reminded them that it was his privilege, his obligation, his duty to exhort and to comfort and to charge them as God's people. And this is something that ministers have to do. Is it's a privilege to comfort God's children, but sometimes we think of comfort in the wrong way. Comfort in the Word of God, many times we find that God's strength is holding us up, and that we're able to go forward in the strength of the Lord. That's comforting to the child of God, because we have His promise to never leave us nor forsake us. Certainly stand in need of your prayers this afternoon, and that which I have on my mind this afternoon has been on my mind all week. Brother Freddie touched on it pretty strong last night, but hopefully we'll tie into what the Lord blessed him to teach us last night. And I would not only like to talk about a resurrection, but I'd like to talk about the reigning that we have after the resurrection. I certainly stand in need of your prayers. I know that it's in there. I need God's deliverance to bring it out in such a way that it would be comforting, that it would be exhorting, and it will charge us. And certainly, Apostle Paul, in writing to the church of Thessalonica, says, as we have been allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but of God which trieth our hearts. We have a very sacred thing given to our trust. That is the gospel that's been committed to us, entrusted to us, and it's certainly to our benefit. Again, I want to talk to you about a resurrection, but I also want to talk about a reigning. And I remember that the servant Moses, God spoke to the children of Israel through Moses and says that God has chosen thee to be a holy people unto himself. For thou art a special people unto the Lord above all the people up on the face of the earth. Exodus chapter 7. Something we need to bear in mind, my friends, if we are claiming to be chosen of God, that God has chosen us to be a holy people. It's important that we remember that. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, not your spirits. He didn't say send your spirit down to the house of God or my affections will be with you. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Not just our spirits we send down to the house of God. Not just our spirits we send with our sick brother. It's our bodies. So, bearing that in mind, the Apostle Paul, writing to the young minister Timothy, I think I want to turn over and read that, if you'll bear with me for just a moment. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, writing to the young minister Timothy, says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, we have five generations of ministry here. We have five generations of ministry here, and then we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who taught Paul, who taught Timothy, who is to teach others, who were to teach others. There's five generations of ministry there, and the things that they were to teach was exactly what Jesus Christ showed unto them. He gave to Paul, to give to Timothy, to teach faithful men, to teach others also. So it's very important that we remember that which we are to teach is not something new. And the one of the emphasis I'd like to make, if I don't get any other point across, I want to get the point that there are warnings in the Word of God. I want to talk about the warnings in the Word of God, and this is important that we know this if we're going to experience a resurrection. Now, I delight in thinking about the final resurrection. I delight in thinking about, dwelling upon, meditating upon, reading about, hearing about, hearing the gospel proclaimed about the final resurrection, when I will be resurrected and all of God's children will be resurrected in a glorified body. I'm talking about the redeemed family of God. But at that day, I don't expect there to be any corporally dead to be raised from out among. Any corporally dead, you hear me? Not any physical dead bodies to be raised from among. On that day, all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. There'll be no corporally dead in that day. I'm looking forward to that, but there are dead that we are to be resurrected out from among. That's the emphasis that Elder Bowen was making last night. And the Apostle Paul, in starting that chapter in Philippians 3, gave the warnings. In fact, I never realized just this week in studying the book of the Epistle to the Philippians of how many warnings he gives and who he's giving it about. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concisions. These are people that will destroy your spiritual enjoyment. These are spiritually dead people, so to speak. They are dead. These are the ones that the Apostle Paul was seeking to be raised from out from among. He was to be resurrected from among. His desire was that he'd be resurrected from among these dead individuals. He gives warning after warning after warning. In fact, if you will remember the Apostle Paul and his farewell to the elders at Ephesus, he says, I bear you record that I am pure from the blood of all men. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, all of it. And this is something, my friends, that we have to be very careful of, because we have subjects that are enjoyable to talk about. They're enjoyable to talk about, comforting God's children and the grace of God. But there are subjects that has to be addressed that are not so pleasant. Brother Sonny's already mentioned that. There are subjects that as the Apostle Paul went on to tell the young minister, Timothy, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. This is something that is of necessity for all of us. But he is addressing the elders at Ephesus. He makes this statement. Take heed unto thyself. That's the number one thing a minister better do, is take heed to himself. Take heed to thyself. All eyes are fixed on you, my friends. The ministry, all eyes are fixed, and nothing delights the dogs, the evil workers, and those that are guilty of mutilating to try to find something that they could charge a minister with. That's the reason he starts off the second chapter by encouraging this young minister to be strong in the Lord. It's important that we be strong. But I want to read you a definition of grace that I've never heard expounded before. Now we delight in grace. We delight in the subject of grace. But let's go ahead and get the full meaning of it. Grace is a divine influence which operates in men to regenerate and to sanctify. And listen to this, and to impart strength to endure trial and resist temptation. My friend, it takes God's grace to be strong. Yes. Don't think that we are immune. Don't think just because God calls a man to preach the Word of God, God charges him to declare His Word, God gives him the unction of the Spirit and many times delivers him with a particular or special message. Don't think that he's immune to sin just because God has called him out of the walks of life. He's a human being just like anyone else. The young minister was being reminded that he's no exception, to be strong in the Lord and in the word of His grace, or in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He says, take heed to thyself. His last farewell to the elders at Ephesus, as he goes through, take heed to thyself. This is the first thing a minister better do. Take heed to thyself and to all the flock over which The Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Now, somebody else didn't make me overseer to the flock that I'm overseeing. Brother Sonny didn't just decide, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, I think I'll choose this place to go. No poetry intended. God, through the Holy Ghost, gives a man responsibility over a flock and holds him responsible. Go to Hebrews chapter 13, and it'll remind you that you're to obey them that have the rule over you. And if he says, go get him a cup of coffee, you have to go get him a cup of coffee. In all seriousness, it is, for he is responsible for your welfare, for the welfare of your souls,
Amen.
Of your life.
That's right, brother.
And friends, that's a burden to carry.
Amen.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the burden of God's people are upon the heart of the servant of God.
Amen.
He says, take heed to thyself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God. I want to turn over and get all of that. Bear with me for just a moment. Which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves. Here's another warning.
That's exactly right.
There are grievous wolves under the influence of evil spirits.
Yes.
This is not fairy tale, my friends. This is not make-believe. This is not mythical. There are wolves that desires to scatter the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made the ministry overseers.
Amen.
It's no different than a shepherd watching a flock and watching for predators upon the flock. Now, I was raised on a cattle farm. Cattle pretty well take care of themselves, but there's times when you have to. When you have varmints that tries to destroy the flock. But my friends, this is a 24-hour, 7-day a week responsibility. It's a heavy burden. And except by God's grace, we couldn't bear up. But except for God's grace, you couldn't follow. He says, for this I know, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise. Speaking perverse things and drawing away disciples after them. Did we not experience that?
Yeah, yeah.
Did we not experience that?
Amen.
So the reason the Apostle Paul is reminding the young minister to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now he goes on to state. He goes on to make this statement. I'll just read on down there. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to the faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. I'm not to be, a minister is not to be soliciting, nor any of God's children to a certain degree. I think this will fit all of God's children to a certain degree. Are to be soliciting for offices of the world to which we don't have time. My friends, you cannot get too involved in this world. Sure, you ought to care what's going on down at the school, teaching your children. There's no question about that. But you cannot get but so involved, especially Paul is telling Timothy, you cannot get but so involved. You cannot get entangled with the affairs of this life. No man that's warring this spiritual warfare entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. I've questioned, I trust that you have too, just how involved should I get in some of the things that I am persuaded that our society is in need of? Just how involved do I get? the encouragement of today for sound-minded people, God-fearing, caring American people, the admonition today is get involved and care.
Yeah.
Take things serious. For we are very well headed for some serious times. This is not mythical. This is not crying wolf, wolf. My friends, there are wolves out there. And we care. But just how involved do we get into the things of this world? No man that warreth gets entangled therein. Sure, we can encourage, we can admonish. Our duty is to pray, certainly, that we might lead a sound and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. That's our obligation to pray. And by the way, did you realize that it is a sin not to pray? It is a sin not to pray. When Israel asked a king, and God gave them Saul in his wrath, took him away in his displeasure, when they realized this, they said to Samuel, the prophet Samuel, "Samuel, pray for us. We've made a mistake. We in asking us a king, pray for us that we can be forgiven." Samuel said, "God forbid that I would cease, that I would sin in ceasing to pray for you." It tells me that not praying is a sin. It's our duty as well as our privilege to pray. My friends, he states in 1 Timothy chapter 2, "I would that first of all supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty." I mean, what a privilege, what a joy, what a gratitude, compelling experience it is for the child of God to awake from a peaceful night's rest, knowing that God had watched over him, kept him. He has a good place to lay down, to lay his head. He has a shelter. He has food in the pantry. And God has blessed him to arise another day to join in with all of God's creation and worship and adore one who is worthy. Now, my friends, that's a privilege. But there's no guarantee that we're always going to have that. See, it's important that we understand that this is something that didn't just happen. It's by God's grace and the work in His grace. Now, he says, "If a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." What's he saying? I am persuading, he's saying this, if we're going to enjoy the victory, that is the masteries, if we're going to enjoy the crown or the reward, we got to play by the rules. I remember not too long ago, there was a man, and I'm not sure exactly where it was, but I believe it was over at Pleasant Hill, which is not too far from Golden Gate Church, just out of San Francisco, California. There's a racetrack there. In fact, the retired doctor that I work for, had a racehorse that I was responsible to take care of, that he took up to this particular racetrack to race this horse at this racetrack. Pretty sure it was this racetrack, but be that as it may, the story still the same. Individual, if you've ever been in that area, you know the fog comes in and it's dense. Sometimes you can't see very far. This particular individual took his horse, got in the race. The race took off. He goes to the far side of the track where you can't see him, and he rests his horse while the other two horses went around the track a couple of times. And then about the third round, he jumps in and wins the race. He did not strive lawfully. He won the crown, but he didn't win it lawfully. Paul says, if any man strive for masteries, he must strive lawfully. You've got to play by the rules. You got to go by the rules.
Amen, brother.
But the part I want out of this, Paul went on to state, "Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel." That's the gospel that I trust we still have today, that was put into our trust, which we speak, not as pleasing man. It's not always pleasing man. Paul stated to the church at Galatia, "If I should preach to please man, I should not be a servant of God." It's not something that a minister is allowed to do, to tickle the ears of God's children. "The latter days some shall depart from the face, having itching ears," or ears that want to be tickled. In other words, tell me what I want to hear. My friends, if you're going to preach all the counsel of God, sometimes It requires a reproof, a rebuke, and an exhort. Okay? Wherein, in this gospel, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Isn't that wonderful? Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul says, the things that I endure for the elect's sake, that they might obtain a salvation. And that's what we're looking at, is how that we can be resurrected from among the dead. This is what the Apostle Paul was striving toward, having counted all the things that were from a Jew standpoint, all things that were gained to him, he counted loss. He was ready to throw it all to the dogs, that I might gain Christ. That is, I might win or gain Christ. That was his desire, that I might be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of faith, the righteousness of God, which is by faith, that I may know him. He touched on this last night, and it's very important that we get this. This is not an intellectual knowledge, for I trust that the very wickedest of the world knows something about Jesus Christ intellectually. This is not talking about just a heartwarming thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, my friends, this is talking about an intimate experience with your husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. And be found in Him, that I would experience, that I might know Him, intimately. The power of His resurrection. My friends, God is the only one by His grace that we have the ability to come out from among the dead and walk among the living. Amen. It's by God's delivering grace. Because I'll promise you, my friends, your nature and the nature of the most wicked individual you could pull to mind is not a whit different. Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, made that statement. That and you who were dead in trespasses and in sin, you who were dead in trespasses and in sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all also had our conversations, that is our behavior in times past, fulfilling the desires and of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, with His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Him. This is our legal position with Christ Jesus. This is a resurrection that we have already experienced legally and positionally. When He raised, we were raised with Him. But my friends, we are waiting the ultimate of that, the effect of that resurrection. Meanwhile, the Apostle Paul is instructing us how that we can be resurrected from among. That's exactly what that word means there. To be resurrected out from among the dead. How do we do it? By the strength of His grace. By the strength of His grace. Paul's desire was, for the elect's sake, he was willing to suffer. And I'll tell you, my friends, a minister that's not willing to suffer for the elect's sake is not worth his salt anyway. He's just not worth his salt. Get ready, my friends. If we're going to be an advocate of the truth, then there's going to be some sufferings. There's going to be some sufferings. In fact, he goes on to state to this young minister, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That stands for every one of us in here going to suffer some persecution. But Paul was willing to suffer that they may gain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, notice this. If we suffer with Him, we shall also... Let me back up. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. This is not a corporal death. Of course, when He died, legally and positionally, we died. When he was resurrected, legally and positionally, we was resurrected. When he was seated on the right hand of the majesty on high, legally and positionally, we were seated on the right hand of the majesty on high. But this, my friends, if we be dead with him, notice now, he's telling us how that we can strive for masteries. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. That's the only way we're going to live with him is that we die with him. That we die to the attractions of this world. That we come out from among the dead and be separate. This is a resurrection, my friends, that'll help you experience the knowing of your husband. This is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. He's telling us how that we can reign over the temptations and the attractions of this world. How that we can reign, come out victorious. Blessed is the man, says in the book of James, blessed is the man that endures temptations. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give. Yes. I may have to read that. That's in James chapter 1 about... We talked about this the other night. Which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. I want to make a good point here. I hope you'll get the point. I shared this with the little Bible study group the other night. For years and years, I asked myself, when does lust conceive? When does lust conceive? Notice what he says. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Ask the question for years. Just when does lust conceive? And then I trust the Lord gave me the answer just recently. When it is fertilized, just like anything else. David fertilized his lust when he got off of his bed, which he should have never been in to start with, while it was the time of war. He got off of his bed and went out on his patio, and he looked over and fertilized his lust. And it conceived, it brought forth sin, and sin, when it got finished, brought forth death. Lust conceived when it is fertilized. Say, oh, I don't like the lust. Well, then, don't fertilize it. That's what I have to keep telling myself, my friends. You despise the thought that your mind entertains sometimes are embarrassing when you're by yourself. Ungodly, abominable thoughts. Reason they come is because many times we've just fertilized them. That's the reason the apostle, Psalmist David says, for us to meditate. Meditate. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, and standeth in the way of sinners, and sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the Lord, in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You say, well, I can't think about it all the time. No, but we ought to give it our best effort. And that's how we are resurrected from among the dead. Then we teach our young people that though it sounds innocent, you better weigh it all out. I shared this story with our flock at home. Had a young lady's minister's daughter, who she is not important. One of her workmates said, I'm going down to the certain club tonight, Friday night. I want you to come and go with me. She said, I'm not going down there. It's a bad environment to start with. Well, we'll just behave ourselves, sit by ourselves. She said, I don't care. I'm not going down there. Well, the girl went by herself. Come to find out later, the girl was she was taken out and almost raped. Though it might sound innocent or appealing to begin with, there's an environment that we have to stay out of. There's a dead environment of death and stench that we have to be brought above or resurrected out from among. This is what the Apostle Paul was desiring. He says, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Yeah, there's some suffering that's going to have to be done. But my friends, when we reign with him, I think about people like Joshua, who in the face of such adversity and murmuring and complaining and rebellion, he went on and followed the Lord and watched the walls, followed the instructions of God to a detail, and watched the walls of Jericho come down, and victory was won. He reigned with the Lord during this time. I think about Elijah in the face of 450 of the prophets of Baal. In the face of such adversity, he was bold and stood and declared the God of glory, and watched fire rain down from heaven, consume the altar, consume the 12 stones, and licked up the water that was in the ditch. My friend, for a few moments, Elijah reigned with the Lord.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Our reign sometimes is short. His was. A lot of it's our fault. He forgot. Just like we do, he forgot the deliverance that he had just experienced. And the next thing you know, he's running from Jezebel. How long our reign is, a whole lot of it's up to us. I think about David as he stood with probably one foot upon the chest of that great giant with his sword and beheads that giant. He reigned with the Lord as he carried the head of that giant to the king. He was reigning with the Lord. But it took some suffering because he didn't have a friend among the armies of Israel. If we're going to reign with him, my friends, there's going to be some suffering. It's going to have to be done. Paul says, I want to close out with this.
Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend for which also I am apprehended. Paul is saying, I want to lay hold on that which is laid hold on me. That's my husband. That should be our desire, my friends. And there is an attaining to a resurrection from among the dead, a resurrecting or being brought out from among the dead. There's a lot of stench and death in this world. If we're going to experience the resurrection from above it, we must have God's grace to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. May God help us to do that. Thank you for your kind attention.